I think the AFL is keen to intervene and make changes to the game to make it more appealing. It wants to drag the game back to the charter. It's a critical document as to how the game is played and how we view it. I've called it a white paper, a moment for everybody to have an idea, a suggestion of how to shape the game for the future.
Patrick Smith this morning on Hungry for Sport. He wrote the article in The Australian, and as far as he's concerned, the AFL, they're not going to watch anymore. They're going to act and try and free up our game and make it probably, hopefully, more like the Adelaide, Port Adelaide game that we saw on the weekend. Paul Marsh, no nickname, but he is the AFL Players Association CEO. He joins us from time to time. Good on you, Paul. We appreciate it.
No, good to be here, guys.
Did you read or did you have a listen to Patrick Smith, Paul? He's talking about the AFL coming in next year. They don't want to watch it evolve anymore. They want to act. What are your thoughts?
Look, I read Patrick's article this morning. Look, I think probably a couple of points I'd make. The first one being that the game's probably not as bad as what people are making it out to be. You just mentioned the showdown in Adelaide on the weekend. I think that was as good a game as we've seen for a little while. So, there's still plenty of good games, but there are some games that I guess aren't as good, and I think that's probably always been the way. But there are some trends that are emerging that I think we're all a bit worried about, and I think it's important that as a game and the players are part of this, we sit down, we talk through what potential solutions there are to continue to make sure the game evolves and to make sure the game continues to be as good as it can be.
Paul, in honesty though, in real honesty, how does the players have any effect of that? Normally they're told what to do by the coaches, they're instructed how to go about the game plan. The players themselves, they have very little influence on how games are played other than carrying out the instructions of those above them.
I mean, if the game is serious about sort of sitting down and reviewing where it's at, you'd like to think the players' view would be highly sought after here. At the end of the day, they're the ones that are out there. They're probably closest to what's going on. They're one of the stakeholders in the game that they should be inputting into what they think could be done to improve the game. So we have a group that we put together earlier this year called the Players in the Game Group. We have a player from every single club, and they are some of the best players in the competition. And we actually have a very important meeting next week at which we will sit down and talk about this and various other issues, and we'll feed that back to the AFL.
Paul, have you taken much data? Have you taken much comment from the players into the shape of the game at the moment from the start of this year and maybe even from as far back as the start of last year?
Yeah, we have a bit. I think we probably need a bit more. We've certainly got some specific data from the players around issues like the sub rule and rotations, but I think we probably need to take a sort of bigger picture view of where the players think the game is at currently, where would they like to see it going, and what changes could we possibly look at to make it better. So that's ahead of us. And as I said, next week we have a very important meeting at the players. We'll sit down and talk about some of these bigger picture issues.
Paul, I want to talk to you about ANZ Stadium. The AFL released a statement today saying that the bolts are obscured by pre-match netting and that the bolts will be removed. What we saw on the weekend with Ruffy basically sliding over them, that was disgraceful. What do you say to the AFL? How can this possibly go forward, at that ground, at that venue, with everything that we've seen?
Well, I think we all agree it was disgraceful. It should never have happened. And I would commend the AFL, though, on how quickly they've moved to fix this issue, and not only to look at ANZ Stadium, but all the stadiums around the country to make sure we don't see this type of risk apply to players going forward. It's completely unacceptable. It shouldn't have happened. We all acknowledge that. So with this stadium, we've had there's been a history of issues here, and we have concerns about the playing surface, and then this type of issue just doesn't help. The players, we shouldn't have a player being put in that situation.
What is the protocol for stadiums? Is it coaches? Is it the AFL? Is it the club itself? Is it individual players? Who's the person that can actually pull the trigger on whether a team plays there or not?
As I understand it, the AFL do a venue inspection pre-game. The clubs also have an ability to have people take part in that inspection. So, if there was something that they saw during that, that discussion would take place with the AFL, potentially with the AFL Players Association. So, I guess a lot of the issues we had historically have been around the actual playing surface itself. you expect that these type of off-field issues should be taken care of. Unfortunately, in this case, it wasn't.
Could that be something that the players would be happy to walk away, or in fact, demand to walk away from the agreement at ANZ Stadium?
Oh, look, I think more generally, if you know, player safety is absolutely central to what we do, and you know, the game is tough enough as it is, and the players put themselves at enough risk just playing the game. So you know, we shouldn't have to put up with issues outside of, you know, that may relate to the playing surface or around the actual fence or whatever it might be that could cause injury. So I guess, as I said, it's the last resort, walking away from a game, but you have to have a look at these things, and if player safety is not at an acceptable level, then you've got to look at it.
Paul, a little bit of discussion at the moment about the length of matches, you know, quarters going 33 minutes, and if we can take off maybe 5 minutes a quarter, just instead of 125 minutes, around 105 minutes or something like that for a normal game, or maybe a little bit more, 110 minutes for a game of footy. Do you think it would keep our best players out on the ground more often? I reckon in the back of my mind it seems to make sense. And just going forward, I know, I think a lot of people, particularly on Friday nights or night footy, keeping kids up that extra 20 minutes doesn't sound much, but to those of us with kids, we understand it. What are your thoughts about length of matches moving forward?
This is probably a complex one. I think that it'll be discussed again by our players in the game group next week. You probably have to ask the question as to why the quarters are going so long. You know, is it because of the additional stoppages that we're seeing, which is adding more time on, which is adding to the length of the quarters? And if that's so, are we attacking the core issue here just by reducing the length of the quarters? You know, I think we've certainly spoken a number of times over recent weeks about our concerns around the length of the season, the all-consuming nature of footy, just the workload on the players. And, you know, on the surface, reducing the length of the quarters, you know, may actually help the players. But I think we'd like to have a bit deeper look into this and to sort of try to understand what's leading to the quarters being longer than what we've seen in the past.
Paul, I know you're in Adelaide at the moment. I was over there on Sunday for the game between Port Adelaide and the Adelaide Crows, and it was played in the most beautiful spirit. It was not only for the players on the day, but for the crowd that attended and those that watched. It was a very big day for everybody concerned. How are the players after going through 2 weeks of grieving now? They've played a couple of games. How are they handling the aftermath of what happened with Phil Walsh?
Yeah, look, we've met with both the players and the administration today, and my impression, I guess, and speaking to a few of the guys, is that, you know, once again, everyone's dealing with this slightly differently, but they're pretty tired today. I think it's been a very emotional couple of weeks, and, you know, I think they've probably got over the most difficult period, but for some, you know, there's still plenty of work to be done. So they're tired, but obviously it was the game meant so much to them on the weekend, and they did an incredible job to get up and win. You know, I think it's, you know, they're now trying to get back to normal business at the moment. Like, it was very clear. I actually spoke to a couple of players yesterday because we were just presenting to the guys, and I said, are you ready to talk about sort of normal business? And they were very much of the view, we need to get back to normal business. You know, talk to us, what do you want to talk to us about? So, you know, I think that they're coping, you know, pretty well, given the circumstances. There's no doubt it has taken a toll, but, you know, they're all looking forward to what's a pretty important few weeks for the rest of the season.
Paul, Derek Humphrey-Smith is here for his normal segment, The Umpire's View. He'd like to get involved as well.
Yeah, g'day, Paul. How are you?
Good, Derek.
Mate, glad to hear you're in Adelaide. That's they'd be interesting discussions. I suppose I was interested, and I've been away, and hearing about Phil Walsh was tragic news overseas. But getting back, in terms of the Players Association and the role in brokering that deal, did you have any involvement with the Geelong and Adelaide decision around the sharing of the points, or was that something just the AFL was involved in?
Look, on the day, and this was the day that that Phil was obviously tragically murdered, myself and Gil and McLaughlin had a number of discussions, and, you know, we reached and Gil was certainly of the view that that was the right way to go, and just wanted, I guess, our support for that, and, you know, we got that. I was really impressed with the way the AFL actually approached this. There was no discussion around sort of commercial imperatives. It was very much what's the best thing here for the players. The players clearly weren't going to be able to play on that Sunday, and they wanted to obviously give the fans as much notice around that as possible. So I wouldn't say it was a negotiation or anything like that. It was very much this is what we want to do, and I spoke to players from both clubs. I spoke to players from other clubs as well as to whether they, you know, do they feel comfortable playing in that particular round? And, you know, we got to an outcome very, very quickly there.
Yeah, it was. It seemed to be handled impressively. But can I talk about just briefly on that, the Brownlow? Did that get raised in discussions? It's interesting. Obviously, we're going to have a game that where there won't be any Brownlow votes recorded. It seems to me that a much fairer outcome perhaps would have been no Brownlow votes at all from the entire round. Have you raised that? Have players raised that with the Players Association? You've taken that up with the AFL?
Look, it wasn't raised, and I think if you sort of put yourself in the position of what was actually happening that day, it was the furthest thing from anyone.
Sure, I understand.
It hasn't come up since. I hear the point, but you know, I think at the end of the day, there were games played. The Brownlow just hasn't even come up as a point of discussion. So I don't really have a view as one way or the other on that. I think all I would say is the industry as a whole, I thought, handled that very, very difficult situation very, very well.
Yep, understand.
Paul, Stephen Dank is appealing the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal findings. What impact will it have on making proceedings even longer with the case? Are you comfortable, or is it just going to be another laborious process from here on in?
Look, I spoke to our lawyers about that, and as I understand it, it shouldn't extend the process. I really hope that it doesn't extend the process because, as I've said before, we all just want this thing over and done with. So we hope that it doesn't, but at the end of the day, this is a separate matter. This is a matter involving Stephen. Now we're dealing with the issue that's involving the Essendon players, and we're very keen to get it over and done with as quick as possible.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate you jumping on from time to time.
No worries, guys.
Paul Marsh, the AFL Players Association CEO.